everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Crazy Sexy Cool Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany, and I am joined by my co-host, my fellow Sagittarius, my friend in real life, my mommy friends in real life. We got Meek and we have Elizabeth. What's up, y'all?
With Shannon.
Here at Crazy Sexy Cool, we give our black ass millennial opinions about the crazy, the sexy, and the cool hot topics. And Meek gave me homework last week, y'all. I don't get a zero. I get like class participation, maybe a D.
How did you gonna give your own grade?
Well, let me tell you why. So I didn't watch Don't Be a Menace. Is that what it's called?
And that's actually on Netflix right now. And it's not called Don't Be a Menace. It's called Menace to Society. Don't Be a Menace is the Wayans Brothers parody of Menace of all those black movies.
Which I have seen, by the way. Okay, so I didn't watch Menace to Society, but I did watch the first episode of Lovecraft Country.
Did you love it?
It was a freaky show. Tell me about it.
I want to know your thoughts on it.
So I'm glad that I watched episode one instead of like skipping around to see like different episodes, because what in the entire fuck did I just watch? Like, it was such a brain fuck that I'm still trying to figure out what. Like, do I even want to continue watching the show?
Yes,
is what I'm trying to figure out. Because. Yes.
Meek, you're so turned on by this. Like, I'm like so scared to watch.
Like, look, when Meek talks about this show, her nipples get hard and everything. Like,
my nipples stay hard. They're pierced. Okay. So they stay hard. Like,
it's the sci-fi for me. Like, it really freaks me out.
But it's done so well.
It came out of nowhere, bro.
Bruh. It's done so well, but guess what? It gets better each episode. So that whole what the fuck? You're never gonna lose that. So you could just like stop trying to like it, because it's not one of those shows. But once you accept that, you can just enjoy the ride.
Child, I hope so, because I have to watch TV shows with the captions on. Like, I have to read what's going on, and I feel like I kept up really well with the show. I'm still trying to figure out the characters' names. Like, you know how you start watching the show, you have to get familiar with the characters. And and at the same time, like, when I hear the characters' names, I'm like, is this based off of someone? Like, do I need to pause this and, like, you know, do my Googles so
you
I know?
You're overthinking, because it's not.
I do that.
You overthinking. Like, it's not the thing though. I do think it is based off of like factual history events. So like, and it's not, I'm not saying like the whole conspiracy part, because it is conspiracy as well, but like certain things that actually went on that people don't talk about, you know, when it comes down to like the segregated South and like how dangerous that shit really was, like, right, you know. I think people lose sight of that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is true. That's not like for the fucking show. Like, no, that shit, like, I don't know, I'm gonna say it because it's not gonna give no shit up, it's not gonna give nothing away, but when they talk about a sunset county, sunset town,
yeah,
that shit is real. Like, and the fact is, a lot of people don't know that. And, like, they don't talk about that type of shit. They make it sound like it's though, like, we were all, you know, merry down the stream type shit. Like, no, like, and that, yeah. So, I think it's that. It's not solely based off of, like.
So, it's like, it's racism, but make it sci-fi. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, but technically, if you think about it, like, that theory that they're, like, kind of projecting, it's not that far-fetched, yo.
Oh, it's
like,
not.
It's not that far. And I think that's the reason why I like it. Because sometimes some sci-fi can be so out of this world where I'm like, bro, that's not going to happen. Like, let's just stop. But when you see it and you see how it's like correlating with one another, and you're like, yo, and then they start bringing in indigenous people, bruh, you'd be like, yo. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give it another shot. I'm gonna catch up as best as possible this week. I'm going to try.
And then like how you, and also how you say like you want to know more about the actual characters. From what I'm noticing, as when you keep going, we're starting to see like you're going to be properly introduced to each character. Like you just got to be patient. Like each character has to have their moment where you're like, "What? So you telling me that what?" Like, yeah. Like, and it's good. It's really good.
Liz, are you going to watch it? Or am I the only one with homework?
Oh, no, man.
Liz don't watch TV.
I don't.
That's like me making Liz eat a steak.
I watch TV sometimes, but... Oh, so no, what are you talking about? It's kind of scary. Me?
Yeah.
Whatever, what was the last?
Oh shit! You watching goddamn the kids profile on Netflix?
No, I have my own, and she has her own. But I watch like old movies, like movies that's on there that I haven't seen in a long time. Or I've been watching like Moesha, or I've been watching Girlfriends that's been on there.
I love Girlfriends.
Yeah, so I'll just watch a couple of those old episodes and then fall asleep.
You know what? I want to revisit Girlfriends because I'm hearing like watching Girlfriends in 2020 is just a different experience.
Yeah, especially like back then I was like, dang, they were saying all this shit that I should have already knew. Now I'm hearing, what?
I'm hearing the opposite. Like, you know, maybe their friendships had some problematic, you know, something going on.
They friendship did, but like you don't see that when you're younger, you know, growing up with your friends. You don't see that till later, and now you start seeing it and like, oh, okay.
Right.
You said that their friendships had what was problematic.
They had some problematic, you know, issues.
They weren't like the best friends. Yeah, Tony and Joan got into it.
Like it's like that question, like, is Tony really a best friend?
Right.
But I feel like that's realistic, though. Like, and also, like, how they had them come together, where it's, like, Tony and Joan known each other since they were, like, grade school. But then they met Lynn in college. And then, what's the other one's name? Can't think of the other girl's name.
I forgot.
Well, you know, she's in the group because she's, you know, Joan's secretary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I honestly, the funny thing, though, is that I'm definitely a mix between Maya and Lynn, and I find myself, I'm actually way more Lynn than I am Maya.
You're a little Tony, too.
You think I'm Tony?
Tony Chives.
I feel like Bethany is Tony.
Tony Chives.
Yes. What? I think he is Tony, yo. Like, I do. And I get because the thing is, like, you're very graceful, but, like, yo, you can hit folks with the sarcasm and the little side smirks and whatever, you know.
Well, I'll be throwing shade.
Hella. Yeah. But, like, low-key, hella shade.
Don't lie.
Hella shade. And then this shady. Hell yeah.
Not shady. You just throw shade.
You throw shade, bro.
It's just jokes.
Like, and it's like sarcastic.
Like, if passive aggressive was a person, it would be Bethany Anderson. Not all the time though, because you're also a sweetheart. Like, you're definitely a sweetheart. So like, it's not like all the time,
But you could be sarcastic Tony too, though, Meek. Right?
Every time
I don't think so. I think I'm more like Maya, where Maya just like say whatever the fuck is on her mind. I don't think I'm sarcastic. I don't think the way Tony said. I think I'm more like just Maya. Maya be like, yo, why you wearing blue eyeshadow? Like, she said that to Tony. Like, she's like, you're black. Why you wearing blue eyeshadow? Like, I feel like I'm Maya. That's the reason why I put Maya in it. I feel like Elizabeth is a mix of Joan. Joan, because she like, because like that Virgo side, that whole like, don't touch my desk, do not touch my desk, like that is definitely Elizabeth.
I don't do that.
Just whatever.
Bro, you're so OCD, dog. Like,
you hella OCD. Hella.
Like, we're all Sagittarius, but
yeah.
We know Liz has a bit of a Virgo, Virgo. OCD.
Like, that's my baby. That's my baby.
Girl, bruh. Don't blame it on Lyric.
She Virgo. She got OCD too. But I ain't gonna lie, I do got OCD.
But see, but low key though, you also got some Tony in you too, cause like she be like, but he ain't got no money. Like, why am I talking to you? Like, he don't got no money.
Oh my god.
Well, okay, we can all agree that Lynn's character is definitely a Sagittarian.
Yeah, she's like, wild, and I love it.
Yeah, I saw the episode where she went to sex counseling. I was like,
that's you. That is you all the way. That is you in there.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I definitely need to, like, I need to revisit all of this. Cause, yeah, like, even watching shows like Sex and the City as an adult is just different, you know?
It is, and I love Sex and the City.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, thanks to Sex and the City and not having any diversity gave us the birth of girlfriends. Because it's right. Like, oh, mm-hmm. You're not going to have any Black women on this show? Like, mm-hmm. Anywhere? There was like a few episodes when they would have like a Black woman on there, but it was really far and few in between. So thank you to the creators of Girlfriend.
Kelsey Grammer.
Well, yeah, he's one of the executive producers. But Mara Brockakill, shout out to her, one of the writers. But yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about, let's get this shit the fuck over with. Kanye West.
Ladies.
Kanye
to the
yeah.
You know what's so sad? Oh, go ahead. You can go ahead and
enter the story properly. Go ahead.
No, okay. So like, well, I was just going to just start in on it. So you know, for those that are hiding under a rock, because Kanye he tends to broadcast his business everywhere, but he's basically, it's Kanye versus the music industry. And he has found himself, like, I guess he's trying to purchase his,
masters.
His masters. And he's claiming that that Universal refuses to give him a price because they know he can't afford it. And so he has started this whole, like, basically full-on attack on the, is that the proper term?
I mean, you could call it that. Yeah.
Or exposing. I don't want to say attack, but like exposing, you know, of like the record label and the music industry and so on.
Yeah.
This is where Kanye is, how complex he is that the brother isn't wrong. It just makes it hard to listen to him because of all of the Tom Dick foolery from before. You know, where it's like, we don't give a fuck, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, you lost it. Like, and now you want us to all, you want to gather everyone all up to, like, you know, join your brigade against the fucking industry.
So what he said is that he wants to bring the music industry into the 21st century. Like, all these contracts, the 360 deals, all the bullshit that, you know, the music industry is making so much money off the artists, and at the end of the day, a lot of artists are broke. Like, they own nothing.
Really,
the only thing they really have is like merch. You know, when they do shows, they might get something from it. And we saw something earlier, you know, with Megan Thee Stallion. She was trying to get out of her deal with, I don't even know who the fuck them niggas are, but she was ready to get out because she's like, I'm not making money. They're collecting everything. So, you know, I of course, look, I love what Kanye is trying to do. I feel like he's educating people on the ins and outs of the industry and how people are being fucked over. But and I also believe, like, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. But, like, whatever he's trying to do in politics, he needs to go ahead and give that up. This might be his true calling. If he really feels this way about being the Moses of the music industry, then do that. Like, put your focus and your time on that, somewhere where you have actual experience. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
You can go back to 2002, 2003 when, you know, he signed to Rockefeller. He was so excited. I'm sure he was trying to get that Rockefeller chain. He wasn't really giving a fuck about.
But that was what, 2000, you said 2003?
That was a long time ago, yeah.
But didn't he, like, re-sign after, like,
a lot of people are still trapped in
their contracts. Their
skills, you know? Right. And so I'm glad that he's trying to speak up and, you know, be a voice for the people, you know, for the artists. But at the same time, there are people who say that Kanye is also one of those people who don't
exactly
pay.
exactly.
So what's really tea, Kanye?
Exactly. And that is and that's my stance on
he
it
will
as
never
well.
Tell us he right. will never come say anything about it. Like, I just feel like he's just all out of whack. Like, I just honestly feel like Kanye's all out of whack. And like you said, Bea, this is really his real calling with the record label. Like, let that be that. Like, the whole thing, yes. We're going back and forth with this and politics. Like, it's unnecessary. You're confusing everybody. You don't even know what you want to do. You're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like Meek said, you're on Twitter every couple of hours tweeting about something. Like, bruh. Chill out. Like, where's your brain resting? Like, you don't even know what you want to do. Sit
you
down.
Know what really, like, tripped me out was when he says something like, you know, I know they're going to try and silence me, blah, blah, blah. And then I guess Twitter was like, you're in Twitter jail. Sit the fuck down. And out of nowhere, Rick Fox is like, I just wanted everyone to know that Kanye is in, like, Twitter jail right now. And everyone was like, Rick Fox? Of all people, why is Rick Fox telling us what's going on with Kanye's Twitter account? It's just so odd. Everything is so weird. And you know, I also saw someone post something saying that Kanye may suffer from grandiose delusions. And you know, I majored in psychology. However, I needed to, like, get a definition so I could see if this is something that could be true for Mr. West. And I think so. So grandiose delusions. It's a subtype of delusion that occur in patients suffering from a wide range of psychiatric diseases, including 2/3 of patients in manic state of bipolar disorder, half of those with schizophrenia, patients with the grandiose subtype of delusional disorder, and a substantial portion of those with substance abuse disorders. Grandiose delusions are characterized by fantastical beliefs that one is famous, omnipotent, wealthy, or otherwise very powerful. And when you think about how he's tweeting, he's like, no, you need to trust me. I'm this. I'm the Moses. I'm the, you know, he always puts himself as, like, some sort of leader, this powerful, all-knowing, like, trust me. I know everything. You guys need to listen to me. And it's sad to see this, like, playing out in real time in our Twitter feeds and social media, whatever. So the grandiose type symptoms include, and I'm reading like a definition. So it says grandiose type symptoms include astronomically exaggerated beliefs of self-worth, power, knowledge, identity, exceptional relationship to a deity or famous person. So here we are, Kanye's married to one of the most famous women, you know, in the world. And so he just feels like he has a power and a knowledge that we just don't have. So, of course, we should trust him and take his word for whatever he's saying, whatever he's trying to explain. The fact that people are just kind of pushing him off to the side is just almost making this worse. It's weird. Like,
it's
and
beyond
I know
weird. But that's but that whole grandioso delusion is that's the reason why he saw Trump and can relate to Trump as well. You know, like, because Trump has the same shit.
Yeah,
but
he does.
I guess it's one of those things where I look in, like, this whole narrative of the industry has this and has more and the artist has less has been going on since the first white man walked around with a recorder and start recording bluegrass, you know, folk music in the South. Like, it's been since since we've gotten over it, this has been the narrative of, like, someone exploiting the artist and gaining capital.
Like, holding the
money in front of them. And before then, like, you know, we weren't as well educated when it came down to the finances and the contractuals of the entertainment industry. But now we are, like, we know these. We see these artists, you know, the late Nip, who say, hell no, I'm about to stay independent and choose that route. And so what I'm getting to is just that we also need to be holding some accountability, because Mr. Kanye, I'm the genius and I have that. And I'm not trying to, because I understand it. But also there needs to be some type of, like, accountability. And also there needs to be some type of priority. You out here making a fashion line and making all this extra shit, but yet you don't own your masters. So, like, you need, like, that is true freedom. Like, we need to start prioritizing those type of things where it's like, yo, if I create something, I own it all the way around. I'm not enslaved to someone else. You know, and I get it. Once you sign on a down line, like, you're entrapped, you're enslaved. But, like... yeah, like, you out here running for Trump, but don't own your fucking masters, dog. Like, where was all this heat before all of your extra bullshit? I guess that's where my question lies, you know?
You know, and like, I think... No, go ahead. Sorry.
And I'm just going to say, like, yes, he's a bit... He's manic and he's a bit out there, but the brother is not dumb, you know? Like, you're not stupid. So, like... at some point, like, you knew you didn't own this shit. You heard the story of Prince. You heard the story of all of these greats before you. You heard the dilemma that Michael Jackson went through. Like, come on. Like, so where do we place that at? Because I'm not gonna just the industry is gonna be the industry. The recording labels are gonna be the recording labels. Like, and they always are gonna be set up that way.
The good thing is that we have so much information at our fingertips. And if someone is presented with a contract, contracts are made to be negotiated. If it doesn't work for you, you don't have to sign that shit.
Right.
So I feel like for Kanye to perceive himself as this all-knowing artist and genius, it's just stupid. Like, I feel like he's really playing with people's... with people's minds right now. He wants everyone to follow him instead of being free thinkers like he claims himself to be.
Right.
I believe that the delivery and the messenger is really important. So I think it would be a greater idea if he were to team up with somebody with a decent reputation. Because right now everyone's just looking at Kanye like, yo, this nigga's crazy. It's crazy. Right.
I mean, a couple of producers did come out. It was a Hitman. I believe it was Hitman who came out. Mm-hmm. And he talked about his testimony was a bit... I actually loved it because, like, it seemed very genuine. Like, he also talked about... He mentioned about... He was like, yeah, you know, I was signed to you. And then Kanye claims that he didn't even know that Hitman was signed to him or something. And then, like, there was, like, some discrepancy that he got upset that Hitman made a beat for Beyonce. Some petty bullshit.
Petty, right? Yeah.
But Hitman did come along. Basically, he stated all that to say, yo, I don't really fuck with this nigga. But I agree.
Right. Right. Right.
And I think that's important, you know. So... like, I think I agree with you. Like, I do think it's going to take more people coming out the woodwork, like, and not being afraid to show, like, yo, yeah, I got fucked over too. Yo, like, because, oh, dude, he freaking tweeted 73 posts of his actual contract. This brother has 10 contracts with this record label. 10. Why the fuck do you got 10? Maybe someone can explain that to me. I'm not in the music industry, so I'm a bit, you know, ignorant when it comes to that. I don't know how that shit's set up, but
I would love for us to, like, have a guest at some point that can come and explain some of this industry jargon to us, so we, you know, can kind of understand what's going on a little bit better, because, you know, we're not artists. And but that's what I said, like, Kanye really has that advantage because this is something that he's been going through for, you know, like over 15 years. So there is something on my mind I just kind of want to get off, and I feel like since we have a platform, I think it's just best to go ahead and just get it off my mind. You know, it was talking about Kanye and Trump or whatever. You know, we lost a giant in Ruth.
Yes.
You know, she was iconic. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
absolutely,
it's kind of lit a fire under some people as far as, like, you know, there's a sense of urgency in politics right now. But, you know, there's some people who are still not convinced that, you know, we are, you know, it's, this election is very important. I just need people to, like, to look around, because COVID-19 is still taking lives. We reached, what, over 200,000 deaths in the United States. So COVID's still taking lives. Our kids are learning from home. Unemployment rate is still, it's disgusting. People are losing jobs every day. What was it? MGM, right?
18,000.
Yeah.
And then also Andrew Yang made a good point. Like, he talked about the disconnect between the people and the Congress. The fact that we have, like, the people that are struggling and they're constantly struggling and they're vocalizing, like, their struggle, and the Congress is steady, like, dragging their fucking feet and not feeling it to be important to, like, to do something about it.
And yeah, it's like, we haven't had a second round of relief funding. It's like, here's your, you know, a little bit of unemployment. Here's $1,200. You're going to make it work, because of course, right?
Like, and how the fuck is that the case, though? $1,200? That shows a disconnect right there, because I would, like, the average cost of living, okay?
The average cost of way living. Way more than
girl,
that.
Girl, right? Look, like, think about San Francisco. They would, $1,200, they're going to laugh at you. That's chump change. That's nothing.
In Vegas, $1,200 will only
Vegas,
get you
LA.
So fucking far. So, and I guess, and I think the thing that I have annoyance with is that, look, I'm not here to sit up to talk about if it's a conspiracy or if it's not. I'm not saying that. But all I will say is I'm looking around and shit is looking a little bit fishy. Y'all over here picking and choosing on what we can be involved in and what we cannot be involved in. So if it's going to be a grandiose threat to the people of the United States, we need to shut this motherfucker down. But if it's safe enough for me to get on a fucking Delta flight and fly 4 hours next to somebody and breathe this circulated air for fucking three hours and some change, then you need to be opening some things up so people can go back to work. That is my thought on that.
Like, we have to crane our necks over to the Republican Party. Like, the main person is Mitch McConnell. Like, he refuses to even allow a bill that the House passed in May to be brought up for vote. Floor. Like, it's crazy. It's like, and then, you know, we have only one candidate that's running for president that even has a Black agenda. And of course, that's Joe Biden. If you go to Trump's website, Blacks for Trump, like, come on.
Who goes to Trump's website?
Right.
You have to see all sides. Like, you have to see what people are really, like, sitting here like, you know what? Because I found that, you know, there's a huge amount of Black men who are deciding that they're for Trump. It's like, it's blowing my mind right now. Yeah. And,
but,
you know,
but that's also because, like, of the Democratic like pattern of constantly just, like, paying into all these different programs. So it's all, and I think that's what it boils down to, is, like, even though racial injustice is very and highly important, when people vote, it's not based off of, like, oh, I'm Black. You know, some people do vote like that, but a lot of, like, I'm talking about people of color or other people, like, also involving white people. It's also about what goes on in their personal lives. Like, so if they are a business owner or if they, you know what I mean? It's going to be hard to vote for someone like Joe Biden when you know the first thing they're going to do is take all of the tax provisions that Trump put in place just recently. So it goes against what your livelihood is.
But that's just crazy to me when you see like what's going on in the country right now. Like, we're living in
but that's not
state of emergency, but a lot of people are just they're overlooking it because of, you know, it just seems so selfish. Like, the Supreme Court will go from a 6-3 majority, which could affect Roe versus Wade.
Right.
which, you know, women and their reproductive rights. And you think about the people who voted for Trump. What was it, 53% of white women?
Right.
Like, you know, if you continue to allow this behavior, all of your rights are going to be, you know, stripped from you. And so many other things are in jeopardy. Like, I just don't understand why people are saying that they don't want to vote, or they're going to continue to, or they're going to decide to vote for Donald Trump when our economy, our healthcare, like so many things is at stake right now. Like, it's a sense of urgency. And I just don't understand why people are just not able to see outside of themselves.
Right. But I guess my answer to that is that, like, we just right now we have a president that has no type of political experience at all, like at all. The most political experience he has is running his fucking conference room with that fake ass show that he had. So to buckle it all down on Trump, I think is a bit.
No, it's definitely
naive.
Not. It's not
like
that.
It's the Congress that's the issue.
So I feel like a lot of people are not.
The issue.
I feel like a lot of people are not understanding that in this election we also need to vote locally. It's not just for the president; it's for our local representatives. And I think about Breonna Taylor and how she hasn't had those cops, you know. Nothing has happened. Like, they haven't been served. They haven't been arrested. They haven't been charged with a damn thing because, you know, their locally elected attorney general, he just won't bring charges. And this is something, this is the person that Kentucky voted for. So what if a Breonna Taylor happens close to home and you didn't go out there and vote for your local officers?
Right.
You can do all this online protesting. You can go out in the streets and protest. But if you didn't have any say-so, if you didn't try to even have a piece of say-so in the election, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to hear none of that.
But it goes past the election, because when Elizabeth said, well, why would I go on Trump's page? And I saw something the other day where it's like, it's important because the way technology is set up right now, like, if your technology follows your patterns. So if you're only going in and indulging in Joe Biden, and far left wing, that's all you're going to see. It is very important to know what's going on the other side of the room. And it's beyond the pop. It's beyond the protest. And this is where I get annoyed, is that people don't pay attention to how people are running and what's in their background and what their beliefs are and what they voted on in the past. And then. Yeah. It comes time to vote, and now you got two imbeciles for fucking candidates that you got to choose from, and it's like it goes past the election day. It starts with, like, you got it, like, before that year comes up, you need to know who the hell is in office, know what their history is, pull their fucking rap sheet, you know what I'm saying, and think about, like, okay, what do we need to change. People are not doing their research and they're not doing their due diligence. And that's the reason why I don't think that Joe Biden is, like, going to be our savior. But I do think that he's better than Trump. And I think that it sucks that we have to basically choose between the two evils. You know what I mean?
You know, like, but we have to also think that, you know, choosing a presidential candidate, we're not choosing who we're going to marry.
No, but
no one's going to be the perfect match.
No, but I'm talking about it's just a level of freaking common sense. Like, you have a man that's that is publicly like strumming the black string. Okay, he's publicly doing that, like on, like, bro, like,
but what's the alternative?
I'm with the black people.
What's the alternative?
Like, just because, look, all I'm trying to say is there is an alternative. There were candidates that actually had more structure. I'm not talking about now. And that's why I said you're picking between the two evils, because we did have candidates before, because they didn't have the big party backup. They didn't get as far along in the race. But that didn't mean that they weren't well-qualified politicians. So we had candidates that were way more structured, way more like trying about solutions. This man out here just worried about the damn cookout, you know, like, so all I'm saying is I'm not trying to say he's worse than Trump. I'm not saying that, but I just think it's a pick of the two evils. And Trump has already showed that he's not even capable of holding a political conversation. He's not even capable of holding. This black woman dragged his ass to talk to and questioned him about healthcare, and he didn't even have enough adjectives and verbs within his vernacular to hold the proper conversation.
Why it's so frustrating when people are just like, you know, either I'm not gonna vote or I'm a vote for Trump. And it's just like, bro, come on. Like, don't you see what's going on right now? When you turn on the news and you hear this nigga speak, are you not disgusted? Do you not want this nigga the fuck up out of here? So we gotta, my whole thing is, I just want us to come together and do what we gotta do to get this nigga the fuck up out of here.
Yeah, I do think this is a big race, but I think the even bigger race is that Congress. Like, we need to rattle those motherfuckers up. And also, another reason why this is a big race is because Trump doesn't get to appoint the Supreme Court, right? It's after November that the Supreme Court is appointed.
He can do what he wants, but Ruth's dying wish was that they wait until after inauguration for this to happen. So if there is a new president, then yeah, cool. We can let, you know, hopefully we can have Joe Biden appoint someone so that we can try to turn the Senate. Because if that's the case, if we get a Democratic president, it's just not going to be anything but, you know, he's not going to be anything but a figurehead. The Senate's going to be able to
do everything
what they want. Yeah. Exactly.
But that's my point. But also, like, just like how everyone in here going for Biden, make sure we keep the same energy and stay on these motherfuckers' heads the whole fucking time. Because this has been an ongoing. But that's the sad point, is that it hasn't. That's not always the case. Is that they're able to strum on our emotions and our oppression to get our votes, but they don't always show up for us. So, with that said, we do need to start practicing on keep making sure that we stay on these motherfuckers' heads.
Always hold these niggas accountable across the board. So, speaking of accountability, Breonna Taylor's family, they're receiving a $12 million settlement in the wrongful death of Breonna Taylor. However, no cops are being charged. Not even with manslaughter, like, nothing. Of course, it's fucked up. Like, how would you, you know, award someone that much money, taxpayers' money at that?
That part.
But then not bring about charges. It's a slap in the face.
Yeah, it's just like they keep trying to brush everything under the rug. Like, here's some money, shut up type shit. That's what I feel
exactly. That's
and
exactly
it sounds
what
stupid.
It feels like.
This being the highest settlement ever for a black woman that's killed by the police in the U.S., like, this is insane. This is, like, totally insane.
And that's it's a huge slap in the face.
It just makes everybody angry. Like, you didn't do anything. Giving us money to shut us up, like, that's not going to help.
Yeah, we're still looking at the attorney general. What's up, dude? Bring them charges.
Bro, when is his election coming up? That's what I want to know.
Attorney General. Look, all eyes are on him right now. And I feel like those who are you know, Republican and for Trump, they're looking at him like, oh, so he's, you know, for, you know, police officers. So we're going to continue to, we're going to vote for him so that he can stay in office and continue to, you know, do what he does best and ignore Black issues and police brutality. It's sick. It's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, but so this is what I know a little bit. I feel like I don't fully know all of what happened. I do know what happened, but I don't know, like, I don't feel like I know everything. Is that to say no one was brought in forth, you know, in a court? That is a complete slap in the face. I do think that because it was past the officers that shot the gun. It was also, you know, is it what, the superintendent or whoever is the higher up of the officers, who actually approved that notion to even make that move. Whoever was the deciding factor to make
for them
that
to
move,
bus up in that house,
for them to bus in that house, that's the person I believe should be having their day in court. Now, what I will say, and I know, you know, some people might not agree with this, is that we can't act as though there's not times where this has been done and it served a case, you know, like where they went in and did, you know, bust in and actually got what they were looking for. Hmm. So it's like, so that's that, and I had to bring that up. It's like, so like, is it, do we keep it like by paper where it's like, oh, you always have to have a warrant or whatever to, in order to engage, or like, how do we do that? When we talk about reforming policing. Now their whole situation is fucked because they already had the suspect and then they did all this extra shit. It's very, very messy. But I guess when it comes down to like protecting and serving, where do we draw the line where it's like, we can't go and continuously criminalize police and detectives for properly protecting and serving, or I don't know how to say it because I can't say properly because it wasn't proper, but I just know that there's times that detectives and lawyers do shit that they're not supposed to do to get the fucking job done. So it's like, if the criminal killed your significant other, but they didn't have no other way to fucking bust in their house but to do it how they did it, and they did it and they were able to get justice for your significant other, would you still feel that way? You feel what I'm saying? Like, would you be like, oh, they didn't get the proper work and oh, and da 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 this? And no, you'd be like, no, I want justice to be served by no matter what. So it's like, how do we draw that line? You know, yes, you know, I want her to have her proper.
You know, it's again, I say that it really matters who we are voting locally on a local level. Like, we can't affect what happens over in Kentucky, but we have to. It really starts at a local level, which, you know, police reform and all of that, you know, how police are paid, you know, it depends on how we vote locally. I kind of want to change the topic because I don't know, like, police
this
brutality,
me angry.
It just, yeah, it
makes me mad.
Yeah, it's just, it never stops. It's just always something. And I'm just so ready for election season to be over. I'm ready to go ahead and vote and get the shit done. Because I'm tired of seeing the ads. My son is watching YouTube and I see a Trump ad like every other video. And I'm like, bro, you're watching like story bots or some shit. Like, why am I seeing political ads on your cartoons?
But, it's everywhere. Even on the freeways, it's like, phew. I was on my way to work and you can see it plattered on the freeway. I'm like, dude.
It's a mess.
I don't want to see this.
So let's shift the conversation over to Cardi B and Offset. They got married in 2017, but Cardi has filed for divorce from Mr. Offset. Huh? How do we feel about that? I'm always like, break up with him. These niggas be trash, bro. And she knows he's been trash. And like, I feel like we've talked about this before on the show where, you know, we discussed that people get married for the absolute wrong reasons. And I feel like some women just want to be a wife so bad that they'll marry any man who will, you know, maybe, you know, he might have some money or whatever, but they'll accept whatever trash behavior he brings her way. And I don't know Cardi, I don't know Offset, but child, I always felt like Cardi was too good for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, men would be like, well, she's a stripper and she's this, she had blah, blah, blah.
So no, what?
She, I think she's a dope chick. She has something really going for her. And I remember when, I guess Offset, like, proposed to her, but it came out that they were already married when he proposed to her. And I remember thinking, like, oh, I don't know if this is the dude for her. Like, for her big personality, and she was only getting bigger and bigger. It just made me feel like she was settling. It honestly felt like she was marrying him to, like, piss people off. Like, I got your nigga type marriage. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I didn't feel like that. I was, like, kind of, like, happy for her. Like, oh, she found, like, you know, because she was always into them weird guys on Love and Hip Hop. Anyways, she was in now all into
with
that
nigga
weird
that was in jail the whole time. Would you even call me?
And then she was, like, you know, messing with that other dude. And she was sitting on his lap with that other girl, with that foreign girl.
Yeah.
And she was just all into all different types of dudes anyway. So I thought she was really, like, found, you know, another ugly guy that she really liked. so I was kind of happy for her. But then,
hold on. Can I say something? Okay, so we played, what was it, Fuck, Marry, Kill, right? And we asked Elizabeth, Fuck, Marry, Kill, Wiz Khalifa, Gucci Mane, or Yo Gotti. So who did you say you would marry? Was it Yo Gotti?
Wiz.
No, I said Wiz. So I'm gonna marry.
Okay. And she said she would fuck Yo Gotti.
Yo Gotti. So, you know, I got some DMs because people was like, "Yo, if Yo Gotti with that gut got a chance, that mean I got a chance." Come to find out, Mr. Yo Gotti, okay,
ain't got no gut no more.
He don't. He done got his shape.
He Mr. Yo Gotti is solid.
Yo Gotti, hey.
Oh, y'all, y'all be doubting my little mans.
Look, so it's weird that you say that Offset is ugly, but you know some people don't find like Gucci or Gotti.
No, but she
like,
she
and like I'm saying like but Gotti not cute like that to me. She
had
him
to choose. She had to choose between.
Yeah, fuck or kill.
So, bro, me and Elizabeth went to Dre's one night last year, and Yo Gotti was performing, and I just saw the sparkle in her eye, and I was just like, "What is going on?"
I told you we was doing some like eye connection, girl. You don't even know. But we were sitting next to one of his girls, so you know she was like, "Yeah, we going to the room tonight." I'm like, "Okay."
Is that what you said?
Okay, girl. We out.
Oh my god. But yeah, so you didn't feel like Offset was a downgrade?
No, because I thought she was just into like ugly looking guys, whatever. You know what I'm saying? He not that cute. I don't think he cute at all.
Why do you think Offset is a downgrade? Downgrade from what? A nigga that was in prison for a long ass time? Like, what?
I just feel like, you know, sometimes women rush. It's just like, oh my god, like I love him and he loves me and our relationship is this and that.
Yeah, and that's true.
No, they're like married. They rush down to the courthouse and get their big cluster ring and, you know.
But on the contrary, I feel like folks don't really like fight it out. Like, and I'm talking about on both sides.
No,
you know what
true,
I mean?
Because like, Cardi did say she was tired of arguing, which is why she filed for divorce. It's kind of like,
yeah, that's crazy. Like, you're going to argue. Like, who, I don't know. See, this is what happens when you have a generation of children who grow up and don't know what a happy married couple looks like. Like, when just because we say happy married couple doesn't mean that every fucking day is happy. You know, like, you have to learn to communicate with each other, like, on all levels, not just as your lover, but as your friend, as a support, you know, person. Like, I it, it I feel, and it's not just on Cardi though. it's not just on Cardi, because it's also on Offset. Like, bruh, how are you contributing to try to save this marriage? Are you even trying? You know, like, and I think that's what I'm disgusted. It's like, you just constantly see motherfuckers in this whole Pop-Tart marriage shit. Motherfuckers just want to rush and have be married so bad, but nobody actually want to fucking fight. Like, we weak. We're a weak-ass generation. And we're going to have a whole bunch of single motherfuckers 60, 70 years old. You know what I mean?
I don't see that lonely as a bad thing. Fuck.
No.
So if you think about it, a lot of times you look at relationships in the past. Like, I personally can look at my grandfather and my grandmother who were married, you know, up until my mother was about 3 or 4 years old. My grandfather was on that bullshit. He got, you know, families out there. So was my grandmother supposed to stay and just put up with it and fight when he's like blatantly disrespecting her?
I'm saying there are some people on both sides. That's why we say on both sides, because if you have someone that's completely like disconnected from the relationship, no, that person that's abuse now. That's abuse to stay and continuously be put up with someone's bad ass behavior. So no,
but people always like to relate, you know, relationships. Well, you know, back in the day, people stayed and they fought it out and they made it work. It was like, but Nana wasn't happy.
They went through bullshit too. And those generations also married for the wrong reason. But what I'm trying to say is that being 60 and 70 and alone is not the jish. It's really not. Your friends start dying off. Your loved ones start dying off. You end up being there by your fucking self. You don't have no one to relate to. Like, it's hard. It's not easy. And I do think that our generation lose sight of that. Like, yo, all I gotta say is me, I want to be rocking in a fucking rocking chair on a porch with somebody and cackling. I might not be able to fuck you. I might not be able to fuck you. I don't know how my shit gonna be set up, but I want to be able to make Martin jokes and us just cackle all fucking day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see it so.
She talks about this all the time, because I'm always the one that's like, I'm never getting married. You would never see me. And I will always be like, I want to be single for the rest of my life, because that's like what I feel. But like, the more and more I get older, I'm like, dang, I don't want to be alone forever. I don't want to be by myself forever.
I just think the whole concept of marriage is kind of blown out of proportion. I think people lose sight as to why you came together, as to why marriage was even a thing. It was a state of survival. That's the reason. And then on top of that, you know, the religion start putting this emphasis on it. But it was a state of survival. You had a man and you had a woman, or you just had, like, now you could say significant other, whatever. So that way we had a better chance of surviving. And a healthy emotional state is also a part of surviving. Socializing has been known to contribute to a healthy emotional state. So we, like, people lose sight of that. It's not even about, like, oh, I want to get married. Like, no, I want to find my life partner. That's what I want to find. And it's like, if you just up here just trying to get married to have a big ass elaborate thing, or to say that you, your baby and your baby daddy got the same last name, you're missing the whole fucking concept.
Yeah, it's a lot of people get married for the wrong reasons, and it's sad to see when they're like, when I hear that couples are getting divorced, I don't celebrate. I don't make jokes. That shit ain't funny. It's really not funny.
It's not.
But I hope people are paying attention. Like, I think we talked about this before, when people, you know, they feel like getting married is the end goal. It doesn't stop there. Once you get married, like, the work begins.
More work.
You got to keep it going. No, go ahead.
Yeah. I had this thought the other day where it's like, you hear this commonly amongst people. Oh my God, me and my friend, we've known each other for 20 years. We've known each other for 35 years, 40 years. So you've been able to sustain a friendship with somebody for that long, but you can't fucking sustain a fucking love relationship. It's the same thing.
A romantic.
a romance, it's the same thing. But the thing is that people fuck up and they start putting all these crazy ass obligations and expectations on their lover instead of dealing with their package in the inside. You want your lover to fill that void that you got in the inside, that insecurity, that self-doubt, or that financial situation to better that. Like, no, if you look at your lover the way you look at your friends, the way you choose your friends, if you can sustain a friendship for that fucking long, I'm most definitely you can sustain a romantic relationship, a life partner.
But sometimes it's not even on that person. Like, sometimes the person can, like, try to sustain that healthy relationship with their partner, but their partner is just not there yet, and they have to just let it go. So that's why they're more friends, longer friends with you.
That's true.
It's not always on them. If they keep trying and trying and trying, and they keep, and the partner is not giving in, the partner's not ready yet, you're going to have to let that go. Like, I'm not about to sit here and wait till you're ready. If I give you chances, and we've been together for like 5 years, and me and my friendship been together 5 years, different because we're not fucking each other, but we have an understanding.
Why does fucking matter?
It definitely matters.
No, okay. Fucking is not the issue when it comes fucking someone and having sexual intercourse. Yeah, it deepens the relationship. But the sex is, yeah, that's what makes it different from you and your best friend. First off, you say, well, why should I keep doing it if you're not ready? I would then question your selection of your partner. First off, and then second,
and that's totally fine. But you don't know that until you're in that relationship with that partner. Like, you try to make it work with that partner. Like, every partner is different.
Exactly. But second, you have to go. You like your friendships. You've come across different people that you said, you know what, we're friends. And you have people that just fell the fuck off, and you have people that stayed down over the fucking years and continue to fucking stay down, and they are your rock. So it's the same thing. So you have these and what I'm trying to get to is that I feel like with situations like that, people don't know when to fucking just let that shit go. Why would you go into a marriage with someone that you're constantly trying over and over and over again, and they keep showing you that you're not ready? Let that person go. Don't step into matrimony with that person.
But how you gonna say be married with somebody and now you're gonna say let that person go when you're saying, like, okay, you're dealing with this person with that baggage, but you have to deal with them with that baggage and try to make it work? How you saying make it work, but then let it go?
No, I'm saying once you get into marriage, you both have to make the decision. Yo, we're going to step into matrimony together. Basically, I choose you as my life partner and you choose me as your life partner. But before we even get there, I have to meet you. I have to know what you're working with. I need to know what your baggage is like. I need to know how you set up. And once I do that and I assist them, like, yo, is this really in line with what I got going? No. All right. Let me go ahead and keep on looking.
But I get that part. But then, like, some people show you a different side of them once they get married. People change. People change over the year, just like you change. Your partner can change.
Your friends change. Your friends,
and they do. Too. They do.
Your friends change, too. And people,
and you cut them off.
No. And we've seen this a lot, where women are more likely to, like, they're more likely to understand a man than their friend. They're like, oh, fuck that bitch. I don't care. But I guess what I'm trying to say is this, that, like, I just feel like the obligation and the expectation is not as heavy on the friendship as it is with your romantic partner. And I do question that if we were to, like, alleviate that, what would the outcome be? If we were like, no, but you're my man. You need to be this and you need to do this. Like, are you like that with your girlfriend? Do you have the same type of, like, expectation?
Like, keep that same energy.
Obligation with your girlfriend. I feel like we're way more accepting of, like, you know what? That's just how Meek is set up. You know, I don't like how Meek says certain things, but I do know that I feel like there's more understanding there. And people are not practicing the understanding within the romantic relationship because they're so vulnerable. People are not comfortable being so vulnerable. It's like, I'm vulnerable with you. And this is what the fuck you gonna do with, like, the fuck? Like, why is it all of that? Why does it have to be all that? I have girlfriends that if they were men, they would probably be my fucking life partner. You feel what I'm saying?
Some people feel like their best friends are like their soulmates. Right. Like true soulmates. Like soulmates, I don't feel like need to be a romantic partner. Soulmates can be your best friend, like someone who really knows you and understands you, and vice versa.
And I guess that's just what I look like. Well, that's what I'm looking for. Like, or, you know, when people be like, oh, what are you looking for in a man? It's like, I want to have the same type of freedom. And like, I can come to my girls, my girls that are my girl, I can come to them with anything and there'll be no judgment and there'll be understanding, but yet they love me enough to be real with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't feel like the love is conditional in no kind of way. I don't feel obligated to them. I don't feel like there's a hierarchy. I don't feel jealousy. I don't feel any of that when I'm with them. I'm just able to freely love them. And that is what I want in my man.
That takes a power of discernment. You have to know what's best for you and your life and your lifestyle, because there are some, look, I see girls who are friends, I want to put that in heavy quotes, because
associates, but keep going.
Right. Like, oh, that's my girl, that's my best friend, that's my BFF, that's my, you know, my good Judy, whatever you want to call it.
Good Judy.
But they be talking mad shit about each other behind each other's back, and I like, that's that fake shit. So some people just don't have the power of discernment. They don't understand what a friendship is. Mm-hmm. But I always feel like the best relationships, you have to have a friendship established first.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
I totally agree.
Yeah, because you're going to always, like, you can have a terrible argument, but you know who this person really is in their true essence to be able to get over the petty shit, like a fucking argument over, you know, how come you didn't answer the phone when you said you were, like, come on, dog. Like, the petty shit gotta go.
And it also with that friendship, that's where the respect lies. Because if I do come to you, because, like, I recently just experienced this where I'm like, look, I'm not even trying to chastise you or question you like that, but I'm feeling like something is off. You know, and so, like, if I'm coming to you like this, I'm not going to accuse you of anything, because the fact of the matter is I don't know. But what I do know is I'm very aware of our chemistry and our vibe and the energy that flows between the two of us. So it's like, if I'm feeling something is off, it could be me, whatever. But I want to be able to vocalize and bring that to you. And out of respect, you know, you'd be like, you know what? You're right. Then that opens the way to conversation, and then we can solve whatever it is, the fuck that is.
Yeah, and friendships go through that same thing, and I feel like relationships should be able to be given that sort of grace and freedom to have. Look, this shit ain't gonna be perfect. You're gonna have your arguments, but like, for Cardi to say that she's getting a divorce because she's tired of arguing, I'm just like, yo, that's petty.
First off, you married a Sagittarius. We are born to fucking argue.
Wait, he's a Sagittarius?
Wait. You said Sagittarius are born to what?
Argue.
Speak for yourself. I don't argue.
I don't argue.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. Okay. Look, I might be a little bit more blunt and whatever, but at the end of the day, y'all have y'all stance on what y'all have y'all stance on, and a lot of times y'all don't budge for nobody, and y'all have y'all own way. Y'all have y'all own way of arguing and stating your stance. So
okay, yes. True. So let's go ahead and move on to our red light special, because I think this will, you know, we'll speak on that. So if you guys have a question for the ladies of the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, shoot us a DM at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or shoot us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com, and we just might read your shit on this show. So this week's question asks, what is your most toxic trait? And I'm going to answer first, because this, you know, piggybacks on what Meek was saying. I don't like to argue. When I get my feelings hurt, when my feelings are hurt, or I just completely disagree with somebody on something, I will ghost. I will ghost you. I will never talk to you again. And I feel no ways about it. It could be, I mean, I've ghosted people for the pettiest of reasons, and I know it's toxic, and that's, it's just, it is what it is. I'm working on it. Okay, I'm actively working on it. But there was this one guy who I ghosted because we had sex and I just wasn't feeling it. I didn't like it. I didn't tell him. I just stopped talking to him. And that's just what it is. I will ghost you. And my thing is, what you gonna do about it?
Nothing.
Nothing. So my toxic trait, because I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to go back and forth. I will peace out. So, you know, I might, I mean, God, like, I don't even send a text. I don't give a call. I don't
do anything. So you're the ghoster.
Yeah, I disappear. Bethany,
the ghoster. Okay, what are you?
Styles P, the ghost. I'm out, no. Bro.
Be the ghoster. Toxic ghoster.
Show is, boo.
Show is.
What me? About you?
What's me? I'll go, go, Elizabeth.
Oh, you want me to go?
Yup.
Jesus Christ, when I already asked you. But it's okay. My toxic
See? See? That's the Tony. That's the Tony child.
See? Right. See?
I'm the controller. I'm the control freak. I make you feel like you can't do nothing right. And ooh. I don't care about it.
Oh my God. My feelings are hurt. And I haven't done nothing.
Right.
I mean, I feel like there's more for me.
I wonder what kind of guy would it take? Like, what kind of personality traits would he have to, like, cut through all that?
That's a good
you can't question. Answer that you can't answer that.
I'm trying to find something. I'm like,
no, because a nigga gonna have to come out of nowhere and just present you with some shit you just can't even deny,
because I didn't hear everything.
That's where you gonna fuck up at, because you gonna think you heard everything.
Somebody gonna come and rock her world.
She's gonna be a white man.
You gotta stop saying that. And I'm gonna need you to stop speaking that energy over here. We didn't already have this discussion.
He's either gonna be white.
We gonna or talk.
Are he gonna be broke?
I'm tired of messing with broke niggas with good dick. Over.
Okay, so he won't be broke. But he gonna be of another color. I'll say that.
Okay.
Probably, and when I say white, I mean, it probably won't even be American white. It'll probably be like overseas white, because it's different.
A European
like,
white.
Like European white, Australian.
Y'all doing me, y'all.
Like
y'all
Australian, man, yeah, they. You gonna find a man of the wilderness.
What? That don't even sound like me.
A man of the wilderness, bruh.
Someone who wants to go on hikes, you know?
He's gonna be the one, the lumberjack. Bruh, he gonna have a beard, red hair.
He gonna look like Thor. Liz gonna get with Thor. That's what it's gonna take, y'all.
No, she can't have no blondes. He can't be blonde. He gonna have to have like dark hair or something, like.
like a Jason Momoa. Oh, he's not white though.
Nah, but see, a Jason Momoa would definitely put her ass into shape.
What that needs to be in me, because I need to know.
Because he's gonna break you down with kindness. Like, you have like this hard exterior sometimes, and like Jason Momoa is so about peace and love, but he's also very like
peace and love.
You know, no, you are, but I'm talking about in the realm of romance.
See, yeah. that control, that's the little Virgo that's inside of you.
Little shit. Emma, she's like Virgo, moon rising, Sagittarius. No, she's Sagittarius, moon rising, Virgo. She has to be.
We're going to find out.
All right, so what about you? What's your toxic trait, Meek?
I could be very abrasive.
I couldn't imagine that.
And also, I do feel like people always just think I want to argue, but I'm just a
you
firm,
say it.
I'm just
you literally just said that you like to, bro.
I do, but it's like debating, and it's only because I look at it as a healthy way of communication. Like, don't be afraid if I'm able to state my opinion
better than yours. You need to fucking ante up and state your shit. Like, I'll give you this floor. Like, if you want to speak your piece, go ahead. But if I'm able to poke holes through your fucking piece, you need to go back and reassess and bring it back with, you know, compare and contrast.
And she'd be wondering why her son talked like that.
Look, Meek is, look, she has her own debate team. Because Eli be like, he challenges, okay? He's going to challenge everything.
Everything.
Yeah, I would tell the listeners, what was the story you told us? We came over to your place for Eli's party, and you said he had gotten in trouble like a couple days before that, and he asked you a question. What did he?
I don't remember.
He said, "Mom, are you going to beat my ass?"
Mom, are you gonna whoop my ass? And I'm like, no. And the crazy thing is that the way he's talking, you would think this boy gets a fucking ass whooping every day. When I tell you it's rare, like
we don't have to put hands on our babies. We don't have to.
Right. Because I have conversation with him, but I know from my tone, he knows I ain't playing with him. Like, for sure.
And you have said many times to me that you feel like Eli is going to be a lawyer.
And he negotiates.
Elijah is so your child, bro.
And Elijah would definitely negotiate. Definitely. He'd be like, "Mom, okay, so I'm going to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at 12 o'clock for lunch. I don't want my snack then. I'll just take an applesauce. But later, can I have some cookies? Not now, but later."
No, he gave you his rider, bro. He's a celebrity. And he's like, "Look, this is what I expect when I come in. Thank you very much. And I need all blue M&Ms. Thanks."
That's not even a lie, because the other day I got in the car and he's like, "Mom, I'm going to be a YouTube celebrity." And I said, "Oh, are you?" He said, "Yes." He said, it's easy. He's like, I already have like 3,000 subscribers.
That's the level he has, dude. Like,
I love it. He said it's so easy. He's like, I already have like 3,000 subscribers. He was like, by Friday, I should have like over a million. He's like, celebrity. I was like,
Yeah. Me and Meek is gonna switch kids for a day.
I would love to see Meek with a little girl. Well, she already said she wanted to take her to get her nails done. She wanted to take Lyric to get her nails done.
Yeah, I'm good with little girls, but I could definitely. I feel like I might talk too much for little girls. Cause me, I'm always trying to, talk to them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always like, "Hey, so what's going on?" Like, start that conversation of like, depends.
They're gonna look at you like.
I feel like that's healthy. So I have a few older cousins that I felt comfortable going to, like, once I became of a certain age. Like, I didn't want to talk to my mom about certain things. I have my older cousins that I can talk to.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's healthy. Like, a lot of girls, you need that.
Started at a young age. It's like, I just want to make it, and I try to do that with Elijah as well, where, like, that's the reason why I know some people might listen to my child and be like, "Oh my God, he would not talk to me like that." First off, Elijah respects me. He knows who his mother is, and he respects and loves me. But second, I allow my son to formulate his own thoughts. And if it's a scenario where he's questioning something that I'm doing, I let him question me so then I can properly explain to him why I need him to follow my direction. So that way he knows the why instead of the just because I said so.
My God, bro.
So I just think that it's just like, just creating that streamline of communication is so key to me. Like, that is my thing. And I just feel like nothing is past a conversation. I feel like a lot of fucking marriages could be saved from having a honest fucking conversation, you know?
And debate, like you.
But is it a debate, though?
With your son, yes.
But is it a debate, though? Because it forces, like, if I have a rebuttal, it makes you think. if I'm sitting over here, I'm like, oh yeah, girl,
yes, ma'am.
And I never challenge your thought process, like, you know. And I want it. I want the same. I want people like, well, Meek, like just how you say, like, Meek, that doesn't make sense. Well, how do you say this and da 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 this? Like, I have to think that through and then formulate my words. Like, I think it's healthy.
That's healthy. All right. So we're gonna wrap the show up, but before we do, Miss Elizabeth Simmons, do you have a quote of the week?
A quote of the week? I do.
See what that is, girl.
What it is, ho. Okay.
Come on, bless it, baby.
The quote of the day for me that I got is, smiling is the best way to face every problem, to crush every fear, and to hide every pain.
Well, shit. That's a nah. Fuck that.
You didn't like that? No.
You know what that reminds me of? This is what it reminds me of. You ever be like walking, like you in a mall or whatever, and somebody be like, hey, yo, smile. Like, how come you ain't smile? Nigga, shut the fuck up. Like, can I just have a fucking bitch face? I'm straight. Just leave me alone, bro.
Hey, y'all rude.
Bruh.
Nah. No, I ain't rude, nigga. That's rude. That's
rude. That, like,
but telling people to smile.
Yes.
Yes.
No. I'm talking about y'all talking about my quote route. I don't give a fuck about what anybody else say about telling you to smile.
I'm tired of, like, if I'm going through something, I'm not going to smile to cover that shit up. No, I'm going to do the work to whatever.
You get a mask on? Ain't nobody telling you that.
Nah, ain't no mask, bro. You're going to see me in all forms. You're going to get me in all
forms. Y'all got masks on. Y'all mask off.
Look, I understand, like, we wearing masks out in public, but niggas still gonna find a way to try to holler regardless. But what I'm talking about is, like, you can't smile your way through this shit. You gotta actually do the work to be in a healthy place. Like, you just smiling ain't gonna cure it, boo.
And all that stuff,
I smile my pain, so I don't know about y'all.
I mean, it may work for you, but for me, all it does is just make it, because it puts too much emphasis on what everybody else think, and I don't give a fuck what everybody else think. If I'm going
through something, it's not for everybody else, it's for me.
Yeah. So I support you and your quote for your life.
So look, everybody, I want y'all to send smiley faces to Liz's DMs.
Please don't.
Please throw some personal emojis in there too.
They send y'all up for failure.
Any man, any we need to put you to see you on a dating show.
I'm not going on no dating show.
For the love of Elizabeth.
For the love of Liz.
All right, everybody's canceled. The show's over. None of you make the cut.
All right, y'all. So that concludes today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to our listeners on the Bomb Network. We really appreciate you guys. Look, Black opinions matter. They always do, especially these three women over here. You know, we are giving you guys something different from, you know, your typical podcast. So as you can see from this episode, we're not going to agree on everything. And that's the good thing about it. We're not just sitting here like, yes, girl. Girl power, you're so right. No, we have three different opinions about everything. All right, so thank you so much. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Crazy Sexy Cool Pod. And shoot us an email, crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com. Love y'all. Until next week. Peace.